following podcast may contain spoilers, profanity, and views or opinions that may not be representative of the author's intent of the articles discussed. We don't always take ourselves or the subject matter seriously either. Listener discretion is advised.
The following is a Galactic Network podcast.
Welcome to the Alien Invasion number 214, recorded on Thursday, March 23rd, 2017. I'm Dave Nelson with Brad Ludwig and Anessa Moyens. Coming up, is there another Cloverfield movie in the works? Alien Invasion Insurance and Spain declassifies 1,900 pages of top secret UFO files. Those stories, plus the sighting and our picks and warnings. Before all that, though...
Dave?
Huh?
Dave?
Huh?
Hey, Dave, what's the question?
What theory about supposed aliens and extraterrestrial contact don't you believe? There's a lot of theories out there, a lot of stories. People claim to have experienced certain things. What theory or just generality about extraterrestrials and in UFO contact do you not believe?
I don't believe that aliens would just fly to Earth, hang out in our atmosphere, and then leave, as they seem to do, like, all the time.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like a long way to travel just to be seen for, like, I don't know, 10 seconds, 30 seconds, couple minutes, and then they're like, goodbye!
Well, maybe...
I don't believe that beings are traveling that far just to, you know, hang out in the atmosphere for... a couple minutes without making any sort of contact.
Maybe
their efforts to learn more about us.
Maybe their ships go into stealth mode. It's like the Wave Rider on Legends of Tomorrow.
You think they would go into stealth mode before they enter the atmosphere, though?
Well, the Wave Rider does not. When it gets to wherever or whenever, then it goes into stealth mode. It engages the cloak. So, I mean, that's just one theory. I could be wrong. Brad, what do you think? What's a theory or a concept or a story that you don't believe in the alien UFO lore?
That aliens took Elvis.
Really? That's the one? I mean,
yep,
you think
that's the one.
That's the most believable of all of them, right? I thought.
I think he's more inclined to believe that Grandma got run over by a reindeer than Elvis being abducted by aliens.
Coming home from our house Christmas Eve. You may say there's no such thing as Santa, but as for me and Grandpa, we believe.
Great story, guys.
Major Market.
Yes.
I forgot how good those guys are.
Oh, I got one. Aliens are probing our minds. You know, some people, like, put tinfoil around their heads or around their houses just to stop the aliens from probing their minds. I don't believe that.
That's because they're probing our butts. Bam.
In the news.
You can now insure your home against an alien invasion. A budget insurance firm has created a waiting list for customers looking to protect themselves against alien damage. Following NASA's recent announcement about the discovery of 7 exoplanets, 3 of which could potentially support life, speculation has arisen over how we might protect our homes and possessions should damage be caused by life entering our planet. Despite the fact that there are currently no insurance products out there to protect us from extraterrestrial life forms, one firm has created... Oh, I've already read that. David King, product expert at home, motor and life insurance firm Budget Insurance, said, "Our standard terms and conditions cover a wide range of eventualities, but don't currently stretch to damage caused by alien life forms traveling to Earth. However, who knows what may happen in the future? To be on the safe side, we're going to be opening a waiting list for customers who'd be keen to take out an anti-alien damage cover should the need arise. Insurance cover is just one of many "what would we do" type questions posed by humans in the event of receiving visitors from another planet, which I gotta be honest, I never really thought like, huh, alien invasion, I should probably look into my homeowner's insurance. Did not cross my mind.
Yeah, because you might get you might get some damage, you know?
You don't know.
Laser blast.
Yeah, I suppose. But then do people take out like poltergeist damage? Is that an option?
Maybe.
Do you fear that your home may contain poltergeists?
The fear that chickens might destroy our house? Oh, that would be poultrygeist. Sorry.
Nice one, Brad.
No, or something. I can't even imagine that I would purchase insurance like that.
All right. So, anyway, Nick Pope, who used to run the British government's UFO project and is one of the world's leading experts on UFOs, the unexplained and conspiracy theories, explained what might happen in such an eventuality. Nick said, although the government doesn't have an official plan, if aliens did land on Earth, the government, in my opinion, would immediately put together a group of experts to decide what to do next. Scientists, academics, and, in case things get unpleasant, senior military personnel. We'd be interested in their science and technology, but also in the more abstract things, their art, literature, philosophy, and perhaps even their poetry. The government would be particularly interested in the spacecraft, the propulsion system, the engine, the energy source, and, sad to say, the weapons, assuming they have any. Which, I mean, if you're traveling way far away, you probably have weapons, just in case you end up running into jerks. Intrigue and the new species put aside, would the UK government be concerned with humanity's welfare? Should aliens decide to pay us a visit? The government would be petrified about an alien arrival, Pope predicted. One moment you're top dog, then there's a new kid on the block. The right stuff. Bigger than you, twice as strong, and 10 times as smart. History shows us that when a more technologically advanced civilization encounters a less technologically advanced one, it doesn't end well for the latter. If we're visited by aliens, humanity could be in big trouble. Nick also sheds light on why each country notably wanted to be the first to crack the language in this year's Oscar-winning film, Arrival, which has been released, not necessarily today, but recently on DVD and Blu-ray. He said governments all around the world would scramble to be the first to acquire extraterrestrial technology, because First Nation to get a hold of it would be the dominant power on Earth for the foreseeable future, making the ultimate high stakes game. And at that point, I don't think insurance is really going to matter. Honestly.
No. Yeah, we have bigger concerns at that point.
Yep. But should you be interested, you can go to budgetinsurance.com. And they do have a web page that talks about coming soon. We're not offering alien insurance yet, but who knows what the future may bring. While you're here, make sure your home is protected by checking out our fantastic home insurance product.
Do you think this is a gimmick to get people to buy other insurance?
I think so. And I want to say that they're in cahoots with Arrival. Like maybe they get some sort of kickback because the webpage also mentions fancy winning a copy of Oscar-winning new alien drama Arrival on DVD. Mm. Visit our Facebook page now.
They may have just bought some copies too. That's possible. Because I just really can't see, a ma and pa. Sounds like is this a major insurance company in Britain? Or is it just like one of those ma and pa type of independent insurance agents?
That I don't know, but at least people have been leaving decent reviews for them within the past few days.
See, it's already working.
I know.
So theoretically, if they were to offer insurance against aliens and UFO invasion, So would there be certain areas of the world, do you think, that your premiums would be higher? Do you think, like, what's a susceptible place that the aliens would strike first? Would it be a major city?
Alabama, New York. Somewhere in Alabama.
Okay.
Well, there seem to be a lot of reports in the South, so I would choose somewhere in the Southwest.
Okay. I'm going to say like a Los Angeles or New York. I think your premiums will be higher. Because every alien, major alien invasion film, they always destroy the big cities first. Especially D.C. Hold it. In Independence Day? D.C.? Come on.
Watch, it's going to be someplace like Kansas City.
Yeah.
But, you know, what do they have different types of insurance? Do you have, like, calamity? Like, you know, home damage, you know, property damage, vehicle damage.
Yeah.
Do they have a separate policy for abductions?
I was going to.
And medical implants?
That's another tier. Yeah, you could make a lot of money off alien invasion insurance, abduction insurance.
Well, see, you'd have to also like have some stipulation in your will, like if I'm abducted by aliens, yada 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 yada, sort of thing. So, I mean, people don't necessarily know that you're dead, but you know, if you've been missing for a while.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, don't.
And they know that you've been abducted, then they're like, well, I suppose it's been X amount of time and so and so's been gone, and their will says that we need to start doing this.
I think that the people that are under higher risk for abduction would have to pay more for their insurance. Like those people that it seems like they get abducted throughout their lives on a regular basis, or their families, members of their families, have been abducted over the years. So I think they'd have to pay higher premiums, don't you think?
I would think so.
I would think so.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not fair for, you know, someone who has never been abducted that they know of has to pay the same premium as Billy Bob over here that's been abducted like once every couple months.
People in the South that listen to this podcast must hate us.
I mean it, like, no offense. I just default to... like Billy Bob.
She's from the South.
And Sammy
Billy
Joe.
Bob is a thing.
I know. I used to live in the South.
It's like I don't mean any disrespect. It's just where my mind defaults to, and maybe it's because I'm from the South, or maybe I'm just insensitive. I don't know.
No, you're not.
Could be both.
If you have thoughts, feelings, or a strong opinion on the story that we just talked about, email aliens@gncasts.com. That's aliens@gncasts.com. Or call our voicemail number. Area code 805-328-3966. 805-328-3966. Thank you for your feedback.
Follow this Galactic Network podcast on Twitter, like our Facebook page, or subscribe to our YouTube channel. Find us by searching for Galactic Network on all the major social networks or click on the icons at gncast.com.
How was you guys' week? Did you do anything interesting? Or did you just sit around the house and watch a lot of TV and play with the cats?
Played with the cats. Went to work. Played with the cats some more. I fixed the front door.
You are just a fixin' fool recently. You fixed the front door. You fixed your car door.
I fixed the car door. I fixed the front door. If you got a door, I can fix it, apparently.
Anessa's door service.
Yep. No, we had an issue with the front door where it just wouldn't click shut. So it would be locked, but you could just, you know, push it open. Thankfully, no one actually tried to just push it open. So, yeah, I was like, oh, I am going to fix this door, and I did.
It's almost a safety concern, right?
It really is, and we're planning on going out of town for a couple of days, and I'm like, no. I cannot leave knowing that anyone can push the door open. So now they can't push the door open.
How'd you fix it?
You want in, you got to work for it.
What did you do? How'd you fix it?
The plate... needed to be adjusted, because I guess the door has, things have settled in the, I don't know, the little bit that goes into the groove was no longer going into the groove. Mm-hmm. So the plate had to be shifted down just a smidge. And then it clicked and it locks and all is well in the world.
Sweet. Well, a job well done. You should be proud of yourself. You guys tried to go to a movie and failed, right?
It sold out while we were in line. And then we were like, Beauty and the Beast is sold out too. So we went to Barnes & Noble and played games and drank coffee and tea.
We were kind of sad, but, you know, it is what it is.
Convention this weekend.
Yep. Woo. But we are going to the Heroes and Villains Convention in Chicago.
Slash Walker Stalker Con. Mm-hmm. Because zombies.
You know who's there right now? JF Dubow and Amy Frost. You should try to hook up with those guys.
I shot a message to them and we know where they're going to be and we'll see if our schedules align.
Nice. Could J.J. Abrams' upcoming movie Overlord be another film in the Cloverfield universe? Could it? I'm asking you, could it?
At this point, I wouldn't be too surprised.
Well, let's find out more, shall we?
Okay.
Following the secret release of 10 Cloverfield Lane, produced under the name The Cellar, almost everything J.J. Abrams produces sparks rumors of another Cloverfield sequel. Last year, Paramount seemingly confirmed that the upcoming project, God Particle, would be the third in the series. The movie is about a team of astronauts aboard a space station that fight for survival after a shocking discovery. Sounds like another movie that's currently in theaters. Now Collider is speculating that Overlord, a World War II film, may very well be the fourth Cloverfield-related project. It follows some American paratroopers dropped behind the German lines the day before D-Day. As the small group approach a Nazi-occupied French town, they realize something mysterious is going on. This, of course, sounds very Cloververse-ish, a pretty standard film setup with an extraterrestrial and surprising twist to finish with. When you consider 10 Cloverfield Lane producer Lindsay Weber will once again act as a producer alongside Abrams, it's all but guaranteed that this definitely is the fourth movie in the Cloverfield universe. Meanwhile, the release date for Cloverfield 3/God Particle was pushed back late last year, now reaching cinemas on October 27th, and this story came to us from The Independent. The Cloverfield universe is becoming very interesting. I like how all these movies are related, but they're not really connected directly. They're all in the same universe without being connected directly. I like that a lot.
Yes.
Unlike the Marvel films or the DC films, how they interact with each other. They just happen to be in the same world where all this crazy stuff is happening.
The cool thing about it is it gives you kind of snapshots into different aspects of that sort of Cloverfield universe. I really kind of think that's interesting because you're not stuck with any one character. You're not stuck with any one sort of point of view. You're getting an overall view of the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
It almost makes it seem more like a living, breathing universe. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know exactly what you're saying. You're getting a bird's eye view of what's going on.
Yes, that's exactly what I'm trying to say.
Did you guys see 10 Cloverfield Lane?
It is on my list. We did not get to see it in the theater.
It's very good. It's for a small film done by a director who hadn't done very much. Gregor would kill me. Gregor from Elsner's, because he loves this. Dan Trachtenberg. I think I'm getting the last name wrong, but it's close to that.
Hang on.
He's probably listening right now going, it's blah, 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 not blah, blah, blah.
No, you're right. It's Dan Trachtenberg.
Okay, all right. Winner Dave. Good job,
Dave. Bam.
But I liked 10 Cloverfield Lane a lot. They accomplished quite a bit for being just in like a fallout shelter, an underground shelter. I can't explain it. You just have to watch it. You guys have to watch it. Go watch it.
I just, based on the trailer and other snippets that I saw, knowing the actors that are in it, it's going to be a stunning psychological piece. Mm-hmm. I'm really, really feel very strongly about that.
What I also like about the Cloverfield universe and the films they've done so far is they're different types of films in that universe. How the first one was a found footage, like big unknown beast invading New York, right? Now, and then the second one is this very intimate, small film that takes place in this one location, and you don't know what's going on, but it takes place in that same universe. So I'm, and then the next one, they're going to be in space. So it's all very different types of films set in that same universe. Call me a fan. I'm a fan. But don't call me an air conditioner. Is it too far?
Okay, I won't call you an air conditioner, Dave.
If you like what you've heard on this Galactic Network podcast, please consider helping us out financially by going to gncast.com/support. On that page, you'll find links to our Patreon campaign where you can make a small recurring monthly pledge of as little as $1. Or click on our Amazon affiliate link, make a purchase, and we get a very small percentage from the sale. Again, go to gncast.com/support. And thank you for supporting the Galactic Network podcast.
We talked about how the United States CIA declassified a bunch of documents, and we're seeing other places do it as well. And now Spain has stepped up and declassified just shy of 2,000 pages of top secret UFO files. Here we go. Another step towards global UFO disclosure. The Spanish Ministry of Defense has declassified 80 reports of alleged UFO sightings that took place between 1962 and 1995. The Spanish Ministry of Defense has declassified 80 confidential documents containing around 1,900 pages of alleged UFO sightings that were recorded above Spanish airspace. The material is available to the public in the online library of the Spanish Ministry of Defense. The reports include the location of the sighting, the date, the summary of facts, considerations, conclusions, and the proposed classification or declassification of each document. The declassification process of the documents began in 1991 when the Ministry of Defense decided to analyze the reports and reduce their classification level in order to make them available to the general public, which demanded access to these documents. One of the most interesting UFO sightings was reported by pilots and crew when President Adolfo Suarez was traveling from Germany to Spain. The strange UFO was spotted at an undisclosed location. The encounter occurred when former President Adolfo Suarez was on board an aircraft of the Spanish Air Force. The pilots and passengers on board witnessed strange lights that could be explained. I think they mean could not be. It remains unclear as to where the sighting took place. The report reads, during night hours on February 25th, 1980, on board the 401st Squadron aircraft on a flight from Germany to Spain, Madrid, with President Suarez, strange lights were observed by the pilots and passengers. Furthermore, the declassified documents reveal a number of different sightings that occurred over Spain when UFOs were detected by radar but were invisible for pilots who were sent out to intercept them. A document which dates on the 28th of November 1979 indicates that numerous individuals observed two UFOs in Madrid. A military plane was sent out to search for the UFOs. The pilot of the intercepting aircraft didn't see anything, even though the weather conditions were excellent and radar contact had been established four times. So there you go. Spain is joining the rest of the pack here in starting to declassify their UFO information.
It's very encouraging to see countries opening up about this stuff. Who do we want to see next? Who's going to step up next? England? Who would be the most logical country to be the next to open up or declassify a bunch of their documents?
Portugal, because they're just right there.
Well, I mean, not necessarily
we're
geographical.
We're just going to keep moving next door.
Yeah, like a wave across the world.
Yep.
I was thinking Germany. I don't think Germany has declassified their stuff yet.
I don't know. I could do Monaco. Because no one ever really thinks about Monaco.
Or, you know what? Even better, I think one of the Nordic countries, the Scandinavian countries. I mean, because Norway's already the happiest place in the world, according to studies. So why couldn't they declassify? I think they, to make it even better.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
All right. Well, we'll have to wait and see. I'm on pins and needles.
Maybe they're happy because, like, that old saying, ignorance is bliss.
Yeah.
Yay.
Maybe they see things all the time. They don't report on them. They're just like, you know what? We're so happy. We don't need to worry about this stuff. It's just the thing that happens, you know? It's just part of life.
It's the norm.
Or they're thinking, oh, that's Thor's hammer. It's Thor. It's the gods. They're fighting in the sky or something. If you have thoughts, feelings, or a strong opinion on the story that we just talked about, email aliens@gncasts.com. That's aliens@gncasts.com. Or call our voicemail number, area code 805-328-3966, 805-328-3966. Thank you for your feedback.
Please identify the craft you witnessed.
A black, triangular, three-dimensional shape. Huge. Just flying, hovering in it.
Shaped like almost like between an egg and like a teardrop.
Two long cylinder objects flying over me.
We had a dome. I could see the occupants in it.
It appeared to be rotating, and it was almost circular in disc shape, and it hovered for maybe about 5 minutes.
I got a sighting and a cat who's whining next to me. So I guess it's kind of a sighting. The article starts off with, on this day in 1994, but this day happened to be like March 8th when the article came out. So 1994 in West Michigan, flickering lights resembling Christmas lights or a string of airplanes flying close together were reported to authorities by several perplexed 911 callers. The UFO sightings and subsequent calls came in a frenzy on March 8th, 1994, as these mysterious objects in the sky were described as flickering Christmas lights moving in frenetic fashion. Frenetic? Callers, almost second-guessing themselves at times, asked about low-flying planes, military activity, and just about anything else they could think of. "I feel kind of silly calling," one caller says. "I don't know if you guys do anything on UFOs at all, but I got the real one," a more confident witness says. "They're out there. They aren't planes," another woman says in the dispatch recording. The reported UFO sightings grabbed national headlines, served as chatter for the late night talk shows, radio shows, and even had its own History Channel special in 2008. While it had its fair share of attention in 23 years, the incident remains one of Michigan's most head-scratching unsolved mysteries. Videos compiling the 911 dispatch calls highlight the confusion, disbelief, and natural second-guessing between police and witnesses bred between Muskegon, Ottawa, Berrien, and Allegan counties. Sorry, I'm not from Michigan. In a call between police and the National Weather Service, an officer says, "We've had about 60 UFO calls," to which the NWS, National Weather Service, operator audibly sighs and replies, "Oh, geez."
That's a great response.
I know. Like, what else are you going to do? So, anyway, the conversation that starts at around the 6-minute mark in the video below, which is on mlive.com, begins as lighthearted and dismissive before the National Weather Service operator takes a look at the radar. Yeah, there's something big down there. That's really strange, the NWS operator says in the call with police. It's moving towards the west-southwest. Looks like a big blob. It was up at about 6,000 feet or so. It disappears. It's moving. After a brief silence, the NWS operator says, I'm getting it now at about 12,000 feet. It's a pretty strong return. Oh my God, what is this? Now I'm getting three of them, and they're about separated by 5,000 feet in height. In describing the objects, the NWS operator says, I'm seeing three. They look like a triangle on my scope. One by South Haven, another over Lake Michigan, one east of Benton Harbor near Decatur, and a fourth appears while he's taking over Berrien County. I've never seen anything like this, not even when I'm doing storms, the operator says. These aren't storms. In the aftermath, researchers were able to say that, whatever it wasn't a small plane. Gas, a blimp, weather balloon, satellite, shooting stars, military craft, or debris. So no swamp gas. The Chicago Tribune reports in 1995, the passionate phenomenon of UFO sightings and seekers has been around for decades, fueled by stories, eyewitness accounts, including the famous story of a spacecraft that reportedly crashed in New Mexico desert in 1947. And again, that's coming from MLive.com.
Yes,
Michigan Live.
Seem to remember hearing about this when it happened or shortly after it happened, probably on Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell.
Probably. Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised. I'm sure it was on there. But I just love the operator going, oh, geez.
I totally want to listen to this.
I know. I thought it was interesting. You've got audio that you can listen to, which you don't always get with some of these sightings.
Yeah, exactly. It's cool to hear the actual reports of as it's happening, right? As in real time. Again, you can check that out. In the show notes, we'll have the link. You can listen to the whole thing if you want.
Hi. Hello. Making a promo is hard. Hey, this is Brad Ludwig from the Adventure Party Podcast. Every Sunday, we talk about board games, card games, role-playing games, reindeer games. Co-host, friend, game designer, and gaming store manager Glenn Bittner reviews a game each week and recommends something to add to your library or game closet setup thing. Our Kickstarter spotlight shines on a game you should back with your hard-earned cash. We've picked successfully backed projects about 95% of the time. I really thought that airport board game from Russia was gonna fly. I'll shot that percentage right in the We also chat with people who work in the game industry, or we pick an important topic that deals with some aspect of gaming. We welcome you to the Adventure Party.
Adventure Party is part of the Galactic Network. You can find us at gncasts.com.
Watching, reading, playing, listening,
making.
All right, here we go with our picks. These are things that we have entertained ourselves with over the last week, relating somehow to aliens and UFOs. Mr. Brad, you're up first.
I am up first. I've picked Steven Universe before. I think Anessa has as well. The interesting thing about Steven Universe, while it is a cartoon, we know that cartoons aren't necessarily geared just for children. Now, the interesting thing about Steven Universe is it does cover topics like same-sex couples and relationships and all sorts of things that can be complex, and they treat it they treat it intelligently. And in this particular episode called Mr. Greg from season 3, Steven's dad has gotten a check for $10 million. Back in the day, he was basically like a Steve Vai who could sing. He was a guitar virtuoso and he could sing, and he actually had a song that got used for a commercial. and he ended up making $10 million out of it. So he decides that, and this is Greg Universe, Steven's dad. Greg decides to take Steven on a trip, and they're going to go somewhere and have fun. And they decide to take, I keep wanting to say Opal, it's Pearl. They decide to take Pearl with them. Now, they've established in an earlier episode that there was kind of a love triangle between Greg Universe, Pearl, and Steven's mother. So, all of the members of the cast can sing, and this is a musical episode. So they kind of explore the complex relationship that now that Steven's mother is gone, there's still that kind of thing that nobody talks about, the elephant in the room, that Rose Quartz chose Greg over Pearl. And she never really quite understood it completely. But she's kind of also in charge of watching or taking care of Steven Universe, the offspring of that union. And they have a wonderful song where she kind of explains her feelings, but she thinks she's singing to herself. It's just a really well done episode. And I think Steven Universe episodes are 20 minutes, 22 minutes in length. Yes, this is season 3. It is on Netflix. Is it Netflix or Hulu?
Hulu.
It's on Hulu. Yes. So check out Hulu. They've got the first 3 seasons of Steven Universe. Mr. Greg is season 3, episode 2. So really well worth watching. And I give it 5 out of 5 flying saucers. Oh, if you're wondering what the alien connection is, Pearl, Garnet, the gems as they are life forms from another world.
So oh, neat.
That is the alien connection.
Cool twist. Do you guys pay? Yes. Do you guys pay for Hulu? Or do you?
Yes.
Have to pay for
it's like
it now, right?
$8 or something.
Yes.
I think they got rid of their free service.
They did get rid of their free service.
Oh. So I was gonna I was gonna like VPN and watch some, but I don't want to pay for it if I'm not gonna watch it all the time.
Yeah. Well, you know, I pay for Hulu because there's still a number of shows that are on there that I do watch.
Yeah, it makes sense for you. There's a lot of network shows, so it's probably a lot cheaper than like getting a cable subscription.
Yeah, it kind of got a little bit harder to justify once CW pulled their shows off of Hulu and they do it through their app. Now, granted, the CW app is free, but there's still enough stuff on Hulu that that I watched to justify it at this point. So
there you go. Do you have any kind of like attached device to your TV, like Roku?
Roku.
Okay.
Yep.
Is there a CW app for Roku?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Cool. Neat. All right. My pick this week, definitely a pick. It was great. A short film called The Narrow World. And I forget what the title's from. At the very beginning, they show a quote from some famous fancy person. And The Narrow World is part of the quote, and I forget who it was. So that's worth it enough to check out this video to see what it all means. What does The Narrow World mean? It's a really neat little short film, about 15 minutes long. It's about a gigantic alien that crashes to Earth, takes up residence in Los Angeles. When the alien's neither hostile towards the tiny humans around it nor communicative in any way, it falls on the populace to decipher what exactly this visitor wants and what it means for them. One man sees more to it, a message perhaps, that may tell us less about the alien and more about the deepest inner selves, about the mysteries of the soul. It's a very, very deep kind of like what does this mean? Why is he here? A guy works for, I think, Homeland Security, like maybe the X-Files type division of Homeland Security. And he's like, he recorded some audio from the alien. And at first it just sounds like a heartbeat, but then he interprets it, meaning it to mean that it's SOS. It's the same beat as an SOS, the hidden message underneath the heartbeat. And we find out that there's some other objects heading towards Earth. So we're not sure if it could be his race to rescue him, or maybe like SOS saying he's warning us of something worse coming our way. So it's really neat how they're not sure what he's doing there, but he's just hanging out in Los Angeles. Like, he'll spend one part of the day by the beach. Like, one of the women, that the, it's more of a the type of document, it's like a documentary short film. So it's just interviews with these different people that are experiencing this huge armored alien just hanging out in Los Angeles. And one woman's like, well, he likes to spend a lot of time at the beach for some reason. And then he's like, he's over here, and then he's over there. And he's not destroying anything. He's not hurting people. He's just hanging out, this big-ass alien hanging out in Los Angeles. It's kind of a neat little short film. So it's 15 minutes long, and I'm going to give it, you know what, 4 out of 5 flying saucers.
Nice.
Yeah. And it's free on YouTube, so you don't have to pay anything to watch it.
There you go.
All right, finally, with the picks, we have Anessa.
We do. And my pick is a cartoon called Counterfeit Cat.
Mm.
I know. Well, I guess I really enjoyed the second episode. I don't recall the name of it, though. But Counterfeit Cat is about a small blue alien dressed in a purple cat costume, and his name is Gark. And he is friends with an orangish, yellowish cat named Max. And Max is a real cat. And he's very selfish and self-centered. And he takes advantage of Gark and Gark's special abilities.
And his naivete.
Yes. And so I gotta see if I can find the name of the second episode. Anyway, in the second episode, we have Gark and Max. And Max is playing with his favorite kitty toy ever. And it ends up underneath the couch where all the cat toys go, never to be seen again. And Gark decides to lend a helping hand, and or tentacle, as the case may be, and lifts the couch up so they could retrieve the toy. And there's nothing there. And then Gark sees it, and he's like, oh yeah, so that's what's happening. And Max is like, what's going on? And he's like, oh, there's a rip in the space-time sofa continuum. And Max is like, where? And Gark's like, right here. And he like touches it, and they disappear, and they go to another dimension where there's this huge purple cat god that has decided to claim, I forget the name of the toy, Anthony, something Anthony. Maximus Anthony?
No.
Anyway, it's a little mouse toy, and this big purple alien deity that's worshipped by all the cat toys, because in this universe the cat toys are sentient and can converse, has decided to claim that particular toy as his own. And so yeah, the hilarity ensues and how they're going to scheme and try to get this cat toy back. And it's just, it's a really entertaining cartoon, in my opinion. The episodes are about 10 minutes long. yeah, I guess they are about 10 minutes in length. So if you don't have a lot of time, that would be the way to go. I found it on Hulu. Unfortunately, Hulu is no longer free. But if you already have a Hulu subscription, you know, watch the first couple of episodes. I think the second episode was better than the first one. But yeah, no. It's a ridiculous show. And I recommend it.
Sounds cute.
It is. And Garc is, for the most part, really optimistic about things. And he doesn't necessarily know when to say no or realize when he's being taken advantage of. And sometimes that doesn't go so well, and Max will learn his lesson the hard way.
That's the way it goes sometimes.
That's the way it goes. And apparently it's a Canadian / British cartoon.
Ah, cool. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. How many flying saucers?
I'd give it 4 out of 5.
All right. Some high ratings this week. All definitely picks. So we had Anessa's Counterfeit Cat, had mine The Narrow World, the short film, and Brad's
Steven Universe, Mr. Greg.
If you have a question or comment about anything that you've heard on this Galactic Network podcast, email contact@gncast.com. Leave a voicemail message by calling 805-328-3966 or go to gncast.com/contact. We read, listen to, and appreciate all of your feedback.
Paolo is back. Paolo is commenting on our YouTube videos. This one in particular was the Alien Invasion number 212, so 2 episodes ago. And he wrote, "During an alien invasion, I would wait and see who's eating whom." Oh, does this relate to our question on that episode? Do you guys remember what the question was?
Okay. Sadly, I do not.
All right, I'll continue. Think about this. Are plants more evolved or less evolved than humans / animals? The latter have to use their mouth for a daily intake of energy, while the former have developed a special skin that can transform light from the sun and also take in minerals and water through the roots. In my opinion, a much more civilized way of feeding when compared to the savage customs of actually munching on other species. This brings me back to the question. If aliens are plant-like creatures that grow without limit and can shed a few leaves for us to feed on without being hurt, then I'd have no trouble eating them, therefore siding with the humans. Okay, this is the question. Would you be part of the resistance or be a collaborator? That was the question.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Okay. On the other hand, if by the time they invade, we humans have evolved to the point where we replace our skin with a light-sensitive coating that provides power, and we are also able to transmute minerals through a special area in our new energy-making system, I would say that one of the major hurdles to fear aliens has been jumped. All right. Interesting way of looking
at
that.
Seems legit.
Yep. I wouldn't mind, although I do enjoy eating. So I don't know if I'd want just a skin taking in sunlight and minerals and all that stuff. What do you guys think?
What Paolo is basically saying is, what are they offering us?
Would it be worth it to side with them for the survival of us and not necessarily our original form, I guess?
I see.
Yep.
Okay.
Boom.
All right. He's being logical. He's keeping his options open.
Yes.
Okay. All right. You can leave us feedback on our YouTube channel. Just go to youtube.com/galacticnetcasts. We have other ways that you can leave us comments or leave us feedback. 805-328-3966. That's the telephone number. Leave a voice message there. Or aliens@gncasts.com is our email address.
Please subscribe to this Galactic Network podcast by going gncast.com/subscribe. Or search iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play Music, or anywhere podcasts are offered.
All right, that's going to do it for this edition of the Alien Invasion, a Galactic Network podcast. If you'd like to read more about the stories we covered on this episode, click the links in the show notes. We would also like to thank a few people, like Monkey Warhol, for providing our intro music. It's a song called Alien Syndrome. can find out more about that, it, by going to soundcloud.com/monkeywarhol. Monkey also has a new EP out called EP4, and you can find it at monkeywarhol.bandcamp.com. Also to Retward von Dernberg, a composer from Germany, for our closing song called Be Water. His link is thecaravel.net, thecaravel.net. And Ben Olson for doing the old disclaimer at the very beginning of the episode. His website is benolson.com. So thanks for joining us, everybody. Final thoughts. Brad, you're first.
10 Cloverfield Lane. We got to get that into our lives.
Oh, Anessa wasn't here when we were talking about that.
She was not.
No. Are you looking forward to seeing that, Anessa?
Is that the one that's out like on Netflix or Hulu or something?
It is out. I don't know if it's on those.
I saw it on one of the
services.
Streaming services, and it could have been Amazon, Hulu, or Netflix.
Okay.
Well, there you go. Boom.
Well, there solves your problem. The conundrum was, where can I find it? Well, I think she has the answer.
It's on one of those. I saw it the other day.
All right.
Might even be on my queue.
Huzzah!
I look forward to it being one of your picks in the future.
Indeed.
All right. Anessa, what's your final thought?
Cheeseburger backpack. Cheeseburger backpack.
It's true.
It's a catchy song.
Brad was talking Steven Universe, and that's where my mind went.
Oh, okay.
So there's an episode where towards the beginning where Steven's going out with the crystal gems, or he wants to go with the crystal gems to do some adventure thing. And he decides to take a backpack filled with stuff, but the backpack is shaped like a cheeseburger, which I have, by the way. And they are less than impressed. And Steven, being the optimist that he tends to be, is chanting like, cheeseburger backpack, cheeseburger backpack. And of course, by the end of the episode, everybody's on board with the cheeseburger backpack.
Because he's got everything.
He's got everything in it, and it saves the day. Spoiler alert.
All right. Note to self, pick up cheeseburger backpack at Walmart.
I may have ordered it through Hot Topic Online. Or no, Amazon Online. That's where I ordered it.
Oh, okay.
You might have cheeseburger backpacks.
I was kidding. Different. I was totally kidding. I didn't know.
You could get a cheeseburger backpack.
If you go to Amazon, though, you could go to our website and shop Amazon through our link there. We get a small percentage of your shopping if you do that.
He's not lying. That's the truth.
Cheeseburger backpack.
All right.
Cheeseburger backpack.
Thanks for listening, everybody, and have a great week.
This has been a Galactic Network podcast. For more, go to gncast.com. That's gncasts.com.